There's no power like yours. There's no safety and security like an understanding that you're in control. Nothing is better. Nothing can be better. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that inside or without the sight, we can trust you. Without evidence, we can trust you, even though you're a God of evidence. There is no God like you. There's none that loves like you. There's none that gives grace and mercy like you. There's none that provides, that gives wisdom and understanding and knowledge. There's nothing like you, Lord. There's nothing in our lives that can take the place of your presence, your mind, what we know about you and what we understand. It gives us life and health. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you and your white horse, and we're not waiting for a day for that to happen, but we're living in a day when it's happening. That you're asking your bride this minute to ride with you as you reclaim what's been stolen. Not just properties and land, but prestige and honor and glory. Praise you, Lord. We ask you to keep that ride going. Keep that move going. We want to see you fully restored. We want to see judges and lawmakers fall. We want to see rulers die that have opposed you. We want to see it openly, Lord, as you're doing right now. We want you to be that God, that living God of power and authority. Not a mean one, but a forceful God that brings back your honor and your glory. Praise you, Lord. We want to be a powerful people, worthy of following you, worthy of calling you Savior and Emmanuel, worthy of the ones, worthy are the ones that truly live the life of proclaiming you, boldly proclaiming you. Now, God, be that God that proclaims yourself this day, that openly around the world this day, openly around the world this day, restores your throne. We want to help, but we can't do it without you, Lord. You are the one. We just sing about you, Jehovah God, Yahweh. Establish yourselves here today. And establish yourself around the world. And use us to aid in that, to honor that, to bring glory in that move in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all may be seated. We're going to abbreviate some things today. We need to go ahead and receive God's tithes and offering. Amen. We said we're going to bring Him honor. Let's bring Him honor. Yeah. Hallelujah. I get excited every time I think about who God is. Hallelujah. If you need an envelope, raise your hands. Are there some announcements that need to be made? Okay, the van, there's some things out there. And I see some potatoes on the back table. We can make Mr. Adkins turn over in his grave. Praise the Lord. Glad to see Peter here this morning. He seemed to have some difficulty in his health the last few weeks. But we've got a lot of people out of town. I don't know how many we've got sick, but... Before this day's over, remind me, let's pray for the sick. That's an order of God to do, so it must be an honor to do. Praise the Lord. Everybody ready to give? One of the things that song said is righteousness is being restored. Did you hear her sing that? And I don't know if you know this or not, but that's what's happening now. I don't know, there seemed to be kind of a turning point around 9/11. Actually, it was before that time, of course. God's long before what we see. But we've got people getting kicked off of airwaves because they can't control their lousy mouths. Isn't that great? An FTC that has done nothing. And all of a sudden, they've initiated a $500,000 fine per person, per offense, per station. You know what that could amount to? I mean, it could put a radio station or a company that owns a bunch of them out of business. And what was cool is we heard old Howard Stern complain once or twice, but then he just disappeared. I haven't heard anything from him, which is a very welcome thing. Very welcome thing. The only thing better could have happened is if he lost his head somewhere. We don't have to look at him anymore. If he's so anxious to go to hell, I wish he'd just go on, get out of our way. Stop trying to take others with him. I'm glad that Bill came in here all irate that somebody was coming. He wasn't against a judge. He was coming against a movement that was trying to stop a movement to eliminate a judge. You understand what a judge did wrong? One of our representatives said, let's impeach him. Our governor said, let's don't. Let's be good Christian, gentle people. And He's all upset about that. What, about being good Christian, gentle people? No. Against, you know what's unrighteous? Guys, let's be real. What's unrighteous is to not be righteous. And if a guy says, this judge told a parent that they couldn't teach their children to be homophobic. Well, Christians are not homophobic. That's the world's definition of a Christian. A Christian just outright hates sin. That's a sin. Homosexuality, which there's no sexuality in homo. It's the void thereof. But that, the Bible says, is an abomination under God. And if you love your God, you don't like things that that abominates him. that he's angry about, that insults him. Abominates him, huh? I can make up my own words. Everybody else does. Praise the Lord. We need to stand with any movement that goes against the collapse of our government. And the collapse of our government does not begin with bad judges. It begins with you and I not standing up for what's right. That's right. It is. Well, it is our government. It's the basis of it. Right now, we have a Trinity government based on protection of each branch. And the judges have decided that they are the legislative and the judicial branch of our government. And I pray to God that there's some more people, even including our president, that stand up with even more backbone. Let's say we like the way our country was established. We like the word one nation under God. Yes. We're going to stay there. Yes. We're going to stand against every foe that comes against that, including from internally. Righteousness being restored. Hallelujah. By the way, do you know what the Passion of Christ has done so far? 286? I heard a couple days ago 260. I don't know, it's still climbing. No, that's 2 days ago. I know they've done more. This weekend, it's got to be. Well, I'll tell you what they said. Here's what they said. They said that if it continues at its rate, it will be the number one grossing movie of all times. Of all times. And Mel Gibson can just stick his tongue out and go, amen? All it took was him risking all of his money. You know, the news says he put up $25 million of his own money. He didn't have $25 million. He borrowed that money is what he did. I guess maybe he had equity, maybe he had collateral, but he borrowed it. And God honored. Well, those, a lot of sacrifice and a lot of trouble for him. I think I'll just go see everything he does from now on. Now, if we were smart, we'd not go see anything else that anybody else does. Praise the Lord. All right, you guys come forward. This is not political things we're talking about. We're not talking about political things. We're talking about righteous things.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Speaking of righteous things, Father, we give unto you this morning as you've asked, but more so as you deserve. Give us more so that we can give you more. Give us more positions of a voice so that we can give you more praise. Give us more positions of people so that we can represent you properly. And give us more funds and power and authority so that we can use them at your leisure and at your will. Do this, not just for us, Lord, but do it for you. Do it for you. Take the things that we have given and are giving today, multiply them to feed the thousands, to go way beyond these walls, to touch the many that are in need of you. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't ever think anything would outgross the Titanic. And it sunk. Yeah, I mean, the whole body of that or the focus of that sunk. Jesus was raised from the dead. It ought to be the highest grossing movie in the world. Well, it's not true. It's not even close to being true. I ain't even got to see it yet. And then those that buy the CD that are brave enough to go see it again, from what I hear. It's tough to watch it twice. It's true. Praise the Lord. I hear all kinds of reports about guys standing to go to the restroom and all of them crying in the restroom. I mean, it's touching people. It's not just a matter of how much it grosses. See, it's not important about how much money it makes, even though that's some kind of a benchmark. But it's important about how many people it touches. And I don't care who gets mad. You know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Jew. I don't know what Semitic means. I'm not anti-Jew. get politically correct and use some words we can understand. I'm not anti-Jew. I'm not anti-me, but I get after me when I make a mistake because I take the blame. God had to use somebody, right? The Jewish people were there. The Roman people were there. They got used. They ought to stand up and say, praise God. I got used. Got a few footprints on me, but I got used. Hallelujah. Where would you and I be without the Romans and the Jews? Right? Old Testament. We'd still be in Old Testament. I guess. You know what? We can't go there. I don't know what would have happened if they'd just proclaimed him Savior. I don't know what would have happened. We're not there. We're here. So, anyway, y'all ready to receive? Am I forgetting something? Oh, Harry. Yeah. You want to go ahead and share?
Okay. Okay, I got something to share with you folks. Marie and I were watching a program one night, and there's a man that came on that that I wasn't fussy to listen to, but we decided I will listen to him. And he came up with something that really touched my heart, and I think it really touched Marie's heart too. And I hope it'll. What I want to do is relate this story to you, because it's something that shows what we can do in our lives, no matter how small it is. This gentleman was describing a meeting that he was at, and he was talking about what little things that man can do to give something to other people. And when he was finished, this man stood up and he says, could I tell you a story about me and my son? And the guy says, well, sure, come on. So this is what he related. He says that I have a son, his name is Chaya. And he says, Chaya is a child that is underdeveloped, physically, mentally, but he's having a tough time. But he does enjoy sports. He likes to watch sports on TV. And this man says that they went for a walk, and they went past a playground. And Chaya grabbed a hold of the fence and just stood there, and he, tears in his eyes, says, Daddy, would they let me play baseball too? Well, the father looked at him, and he said, let's go find out. He didn't want to disappoint this boy, and he didn't know what to say. So he took Chaya into the field there, and this is in somewhere downtown New York. Tough neighborhoods, tough kids. And there was about 18 of them out there playing baseball. And they walked up to this one boy that was near the dugout, and he says, do you think that Chaya here could play baseball with you guys? He didn't know how to ask. He was scared. And he was afraid of being turned down. And the guy, the kid is down there looking at him, and he says, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think we can put him in here somewhere. And he says, okay, yeah. So they brought Chaya in there, and Chaya's standing there. And the boy turns to Chaya and he says, you know, Chaya, he says, we're in a tough spot. He says, it's the last inning. Three men on base, and you're the winning runner. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can.
Well, Chaya grabbed the bat, didn't even know how to hold it. But he's seen enough on TV to know approximately what to do. So he walked up to the base, and the pitcher, he's looking around, and he's wondering, what's this going on? You know. So he looked at the kid, and he says, okay, he says, I'll step a little bit further forward, and he says, I'll just throw the ball in. And he threw the ball towards Chaya, and he whiffed that ball. He didn't know where. He wasn't even near it. So the boy that gave him the bat, he says, hey, Chaya, I'll tell you what. Let me see if I can help you do this. He says, let me show you how. Let's do it together. So they stood in there, and they hit the ball. Well, the boy, he threw the ball in, and he hit the ball, but it only rolled up to the pitcher. And the pitcher looked at him, and he said, what am I going to do now? So he picked up the ball, and the guy at the base that was helping Chaya bat, he says, run! Go, Chaya! Go! Run! Run! You know? Well, Chaya took off, and he's running in his awkward little gait. And the man said, he says, I just saw Chaya running, and he says, his eyes were as big as saucers. And he says, the pitcher grabbed the ball, and he says, this is too easy. So he just threw the ball way over the first baseman's head. And, of course, the baseman standing there was, what are you doing? So anyways, Chaya got to first base. And the first baseman, he says, the ball's way out there. And he says, don't run, 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 go to second base. And he runs after the ball. The first baseman goes after the ball. He hits the ball, and he says, he just heaved it. And he heaved it way over the second baseman's head. And all the guys in the field are wondering, what's going on? You know, what are you doing? And they caught on. The second baseman said, run, Chaya, run. And everybody's cheering out. By now, everybody's catching on to this whole game. And Chaya's running. And he's running to second base. And he's going with all his heart. He's playing with all his heart. And everybody's cheering, you know, go, Rochelle, go, 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 you know. And then finally he gets to third base, and the guy out in left field, he's grabbing, running after the ball, and he picks up this ball, and he says, what are you going to do? So he heaves it towards home. Home plate guy, the guy, the catcher, he's looking at it, he says, forget it. He's, come on, Chaya, run. And Chaya's running to the home plate. He gets the home plate, and the kids are all around him, out of the dugout. They're out of the field. They're running in from the outfield. They're running in, and they're grabbing hold of Chaya. They're throwing up in the air, and they're tossing around. And they said, Chaya, you did it. You did it. You won the game. And the kid comes down, you know, after Granny. The kid has got tears in his eyes. He's elated to the point of beyond anything he can handle. And the father's standing. He says, I was watching. And he says, I watched these kids. And he says, tears come down my face. And he says, I couldn't help it. He says, I felt so great. And he says, I can't understand it. What these kids had done. But he says, at that moment, he says, those kids reached the epitome of what God wants for each one of us. He says, God knew what these kids could do. And God put it in their hearts to do something for this child. Now, he says, when this guy was finished telling the story, the man turned around, he says, you know, he says, what these guys did, he says, that's a perfect example of how you can claim and do things for yourself more than others. He says, you take... What when you give something to somebody, if it's just a smile, you release a chemical in a man's brain, in a child's brain, in anybody's brain, and it's called serotonin. And this gives you an elation feeling, and a feeling of elation and a feeling of goodwill, a good feeling inside of you. It just brings you right up. And he says, it's not unusual. But he says, just give a smile to somebody. Just give a smile to somebody, eh? Right? And look, I get one back, and it gives me a good feeling. It's perfect. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And that releasing that serotonin in the body heals the body. Laughter is medicine to the bones. A smile is a dose of medicine that will be nothing but good for you. So tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'll give you a challenge. Smile at that guy in the mirror when you wake up in the morning. Smile at that person. Give yourself a shot of serotonin and see what it does for the rest of your day. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Harry. Now they'll be trying to smile at me, I guess, to see if they can egg me on, right? What I saw more there than a smile was a boost. When there wasn't any hope, somebody gave them hope, which is what I would... Not to say anything against what Harry said, because that's absolutely correct. You can't hurt anybody. You can only help by smiling. But when there's no smile, help. You know, if nothing else. The baseball members gave up their positions and gave up their right for his benefit. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus said, don't you know, I could have called legions. In other words, I gave up my right. I gave up my power and authority because the Father told me it was good for you. So, that's our Savior. All righty, let's go. Father, we praise you today. We thank you that you've already ministered mightily in my life. I thank you what you're going to do from this point forward. How you're going to change and reveal and heal. Thank you, Jesus, for laying your life down. Let us don't treat it lightly. Let us not treat it lightly. Let us take it serious that it wasn't just an event of time. But as it became a personal happening for a personal relationship, for a powerful future. Teach us that this morning, and for that we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to start where we started and ended last week with Jeremiah 29:11. I'm not going to go into great detail. It's just going to be our starting point. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, one of the things I hope I got across to you last week was that the only safe place in this world is the mind of Christ. The only hope of peace, of prosperity, of the future is located in the mind of Christ, in our agreement with that thought process. And this week it's helped me tremendously again just to pause for a minute just to know what God is thinking for me and about me, and to say I'm comfortable, not only comfortable with that, but I'm in agreement with that. Even if I don't understand it all, I'm in agreement with what God's up to. Now, I got a really weird title name this morning. It's called V is for Focus. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but I hope it will before we're finished. The word that just, well, as I was in the hot tub, as I was in the word this morning early, about all I could hear was God saying, focus, focus. And if I know what the mind of Christ is planning and thinking, generally, not specifically, if I'm going to find out specifics, it's by focusing on the mind of Christ, not whatever situation I have around me, right? A lot of foolish people have come up with many ways to focus, sitting in very strange, painful positions. You know, I really don't care what it looks like. If we can see, it's not a matter of focusing. It's a matter of focusing on the right thing. Focusing on my inner being is not going to help at all. Focusing on your inner being is not going to help me at all. I need to focus. Focusing on some goofy teacher that's dead long ago is not going to help me. I need something that I can focus on that's alive and real, and it has a plan for me today and tomorrow. And it needs to be bigger than me. I don't know about you, but for me, it needs to be bigger than me. Now, the world draws us and pushes us and forces us or tries to think outside of the box. Y'all ever heard that before? Well, see, I've never had any trouble with that. I can't even find the box. So I don't know. I guess I think out of it all the time. But one of the reasons that happens is, and I know this, the older I get, the more sure I am of this, that God, before the foundations of the earth, chose me to think outside of the world's box. All of my thought processes, all of my life are just kind of strange. I don't consider them to be strange. You do. I consider them to be normal. I consider your thought processes to be strange sometimes. If I'm agreed with the mind of Christ, though, my thought processes are outside of the world's box, but they're very limited to God's box. I don't get out of God's box. Can you imagine how hard it would be to get out of God's thought box? You can't do it because it's so much grander, so much larger than even what the world. I came up in a bad era. I came up in the Vietnam era, the 60s, where the whole goal was to take a mind-altering, mind-expanding drug. That was what we were told, that it was a mind expanding. So you'll think different than your old goofy parents thought. They're so stupid anyway. Isn't that what the 60s were about? Government's stupid, police is stupid, Constitution is stupid. See, the thing about in my era that there wasn't anything right except personal freedom. It was the only thing that was right. God wasn't right. Everything that had happened before wasn't right. And since these no good old elders won't let us do what we want to do, we'll just take a drug and do it in our mind. Well, now, there's a lot of old hippies still around that have had their mind altered beyond repair. Many of them live in Boulder, San Francisco. God has, what you call it, serotonin? Is that what you called it? God has chemicals for your brain that you can't buy. And you can't smoke. And you can't shoot. And you can't ingest. And they just, at his leisure, if we'll allow it, they happen. And the cool part about that is they happen all the time if it's at God's pleasure. We live on a kind of a natural high.
I'm high on life.
There you go. I'm high on God, yeah. He is life, by the way. I don't want to think outside of God's box. I want to think outside of the world's box. Do you know that the world has solutions for every one of your problems? They'll spend hours, days, weeks, months telling you about them, selling you books, tapes, CDs, putting it on television, and sending you to the doctors that will set you straight. One of the things that just blows my mind, and I've been subjected to this, seems like a lot recently, this word, he needs to get back on the chemicals. They're not talking about me, they're talking about other people. But because they're a little weird, because they operate different than them, they need to go take those drugs and come, you know. See how stupid that is? Well, you know what that's saying? That's saying, if you'll just be like me, we'll all be okay. So if you'll just come back to my level, everything will be just fine. You know what happens when you think differently than the world? Well, number one, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You might as well admit that. But they got little names like redneck, bigot, closed-minded, ignorant, uneducated, simpleton. If you don't think like me, there's got to be something wrong with you. Isn't that what the world says? God is saying focus. Narrow. I love narrow-minded people. Now, this is world's theology. I mean, verbiage. I love narrow-minded people. Let me read you something. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. This scripture has been alive in me for many years. It's what's caused me to survive many things. If I went on the majority vote, I would be on the drugs because everybody else is going to tell me I'm wrong. But my Lord and Savior, the one that cares about me more than everybody in the world combined, says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad-minded is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Now, what did that say? Plain and simple. Most in this world are going to destruction. Anybody that tells you that the majority of the world is going to be saved before God returns goes against Jesus' words himself. So if you're looking for that mainstream Christian movement that's going to sweep you in by popularity, I don't know what you're reading, but it's not true. Let's go to 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we're not going to be in the broad, we're going to be in the few. It's always kept me stable in God. I'm telling you that. It's always kept me stable in knowing the fact that most people are going to disagree with what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to believe. And that's okay. That's God's way. There is only one answer to whatever problem we have. Now you see how narrow-minded and black and white I can get? There's only one answer to whatever problem we have. Now, you're saying that's right. But if I operate that way in your life, you'll get mad at me. I've made most of you mad because my answers are too simple. Come on. Right? My answers are not complicated. They're simple. They're so simple sometimes that we don't like to hear them. But the world wants to tell you that there are many ways to solve a problem. Now, isn't that right? Get your mind open a little bit. There's many ways to solve whatever is bothering you, to provide whatever you need. There's only one answer. There's one way. There's one truth. Oh, my goodness. Let's get thrown out of every college in the world. There's only one truth. You know what the job of every college, for those of you not spend a lot of time there, their whole job is to teach you that there's no absolute. Isn't that right? Go to theological seminary and you'll learn it quicker than anything. There's no absolute. Can you imagine theological seminary teaching you that there's no absolute? God writes in his contract with you, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and the profs teach you there's no absolute. Now that's extremely double-minded. Any other truth than that leads to destruction. Here is the command we have. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. You know what's caused the greatest rift in my family situations, in my friend situations? The accusation that I'm too black and white. Everything is black and white to you. Well, it isn't, but it is. Sometimes it's a little black and blue. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. How many of us in the last few weeks have disobeyed this command totally? Everybody? It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how can I do that? Well, here's the answer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. There's your answer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, now, if I have a problem, most people interpret this as I give God thanksgiving for my problem. No, you give him thanks because you know he already is working it out. He knew about it before you did, and he's already got it under control working it out. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. I can't guard my heart like God can. It says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why does God have peace? He is peace, but why does he have so much to give? Now, come on, inside of you, because he knows he's right, and he knows he's already got it figured out. You know how much at peace we could be if there weren't any problems that weren't already solved? How much peace would we have if all problems were already taken care of? If I owned the whole world and I had all the power, how much peace would I have? All right. Now, he doesn't just keep that to himself. We know by what he thinks and how he wrote down his thoughts that he wants to give that to us. So that's what's being said here. The peace of God. In other words, you already know that everything is taken care of. Okay. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. How many of you know that when I'm digging for something, I dig hard for what's true? Now, how do I know what's true? Well, first, if you don't start with God, you don't know what's true. If everything doesn't stop with you focusing on the mind of Christ, you will never understand what's true, because the Bible says that the lack of truth will cloud your mind, will make you believe false things. The second way you do that is, do I know, did I hear it, did I see it? Well, I heard the other day old Harry, he stole $100 out of somebody's billfold. What am I doing? God? Out of Marie's billfold. First thought has to be towards God, not towards Harry. The second question is, did I see him do that? Did I see him do that? Then I don't know, do I? If God didn't tell me, then the person that did tell me hasn't got a confirmation from God, because he didn't tell me. Well, you're just walking in. You're an ostrich. You're hiding your... No, I'm not hiding anything. I'm telling you the truth. I've had so many stories told about me that it's become very real to me that if you didn't see it, you don't know it, so quit talking about it. You don't know all the facts. If you weren't there, then you can't testify about something you don't know. So shut up. So shut up, because what happens is, when we say it enough, it becomes truth to us, whether we saw it or not. And the Bible says at that point I can believe a lie, which means I start basing my life on what I said, not what I know. That's why it's best to know and say what you know, so that you'll believe it. You'll base your life on it. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It doesn't even say them. It says meditate on them. By the way, what we meditate on, we'll speak. By the way, who is the only one we know that is true, noble, pure, just, lovely? So what do we spend our time meditating on? See, in our search for truth, which I hope that would be the goal of everybody concerned, that our total life would be in a search for truth, that the only thing we'd find is Jesus. Meditate on these things. I want to show you something. Here's my little artistic rendering. Didn't even take time to make a overhead. But this is a V, in case you can't tell that. And that's a V. This is basically what the world wants our mind to look like up here. Wide open, broad-minded, receiving all. The funnel doesn't care what it gets. It just takes it and dumps it somewhere, mostly in us. This is what the world wants our mind to look like. This is what God wants our mind to look like. God, the world wants everything offered us to take in, analyze it, circulate it, and finally come out with some type of a non-absolute answer. Come on, you really do need to analyze what we've been taught and spit out most of it. And they tell you that this mind expansion is going to lead you to God. Well, it will. It'll lead you to some God. I promise you it will. Why? Because it's in the heart of man to seek God. It's in the heart of man to seek a God. Now, what God wants us to do is the other way. He wants us to become an expanded person by being narrow-minded. You know how we can be a lot of things, a lot of answers, a lot of help to a lot of people? With a little bitty single thought process from the mind of God. Just like the little story we talked about. Just like understanding what a little bit of tithe does in the kingdom of God. God takes those little things and makes them big. if we focus or meditate, the Scripture says, on those things. How many of you have had God do anything good for you? Then why don't we meditate on that? The world will throw so many problems at us that we get to meditating on those things, not on God. I've never had God treat me wrong. Never had God lie about me. I've had Him stand with me against liars before. I've seen them fall, but I've never had Him against me. The world wants to open and expand our minds. So what happens when we open and expand our minds? We get the Big Bang Theory. We negate the Word of God when He says, I created, and we turn creation over to an accident. By the way, what does the world try to teach us? That's true. But they try to teach us what they know. If we depend upon what man knows to teach us, we're going to be limited to man. But if I search for the mind of Christ, the Bible says I've got witty inventions at my fingers. I've got bright thoughts. I've got miraculous things that I can do, say, and think. Why would I listen only to the teachings of mankind? Why would I limit myself to that kind of nonsense, which most of it's nonsense? I watched this comedy show last night that just ever saw. Four rednecks. Country bumpkins. They were teaching more in their comedy than most professors could. They were doing it in a very funny way. Sometimes, but you know what? They were only using reality as we know it. Funny, right? And they weren't animated. They weren't screaming and yelling. They weren't using a lot of this modern comedy that you're going, what? What's he talking about? Using language that you can't understand or you don't want to listen to anyway. They weren't doing all that. It was just being old country boys. Sit down four in front. Started telling little stories about their life and just cracked each other up like you wouldn't believe. About real things. One guy, just an old drunken bum, barroom fighter. He said, I got drunk in a bar, and I'm not going to go through all that, but he said, I had six bouncers throw me out. He said, these guys lived and moved and fought bouncing. That was what they enjoyed. They picked me up and threw me out of there. And he said, I wasn't going to have that. And I stood up, and he said, I was going to whip them, but he said, I don't know how many people it takes to whip my tail. But he said, I know how many they were going to use. And he said, that's some useful information. So he said, I didn't fight. I've never been thrown out of a bar. But now I've got a reference. I've got some good. Our pride and our anger will cause us to try to whip the world. A little mind of Christ at the appropriate moment will cause us to choose our fights. Only one answer, one way, one truth, one life. Any other leads to destruction. I can turn on the TV at any time, at any day, turn on the radio, turn on anything, and it'll be full of answers for your problems. There'll be telemarketing to sell it to you. I'm not brilliant, never thought I was, but Adkins didn't figure out the protein diet. God did. I learned it when I was a little kid. Believe it or not, I figured out as a little kid you couldn't get fat on meat. You can't eat enough meat to grow large. You can grow big, but not fat. But you can grow fat on potatoes. Imagine that. And it takes a PhD or a doctor, whatever he is, to write a book, spend 30 years trying to get that thing published, and when it finally catches on, beef industry profits. What did they catch on to? A diet? No, they finally caught on to the mind of Christ. No, they didn't catch that. They didn't catch on to a diet. People are catching on to the mind of Christ. This is how simple it is. The old country doctor. Doc, it hurts when I do that. Don't do that. Pick your fights. You know what we're offered? You know how to find some answers? Listen to the news. That'll give you answers, right? Well, then all your problems would go away if you had enough money. Come on. I guarantee you, deep in your hearts right now, most of you think that if I had enough money, I wouldn't have any more problems. Why? Because that's what we've been taught. That's what keeps the job economy strong. We've been taught that from little bitty kids, that you work hard, earn money, everything will be all right. Get the right job, everything's going to be all right. If I can just get a cushy retirement going, then everything's going to be all right. If I can work a little harder, I can make it all right. These are the answers that the world gives us continually. If I exercise a little more, Everything's going to be fine. I'll feel better if I exercise. I'll think clearer if I exercise. Now, I'm not saying this is a lie. I'm telling you that the world teaches you this is the answer. And I'm telling you Jesus says, I am the only answer. It doesn't mean that Jesus is not going to tell you to exercise, because I bet he does. That's how fine line we walk. Is this the mind of Christ or is this the world? God says, my mind will give you peace. He didn't say exercise will give you peace, even though it will. But you won't have the peace until you get God's mind with the exercise. The internet is my savior. I heard that the other day. She, he thinks the internet is he or her savior. And I said, I don't remember reading that the internet went to the cross. And they thought that was funny. I wasn't trying to be funny. Coffee. Coffee's the answer. I can think clearer. I can get more work done. That is not the mind of Christ. That's not the mind of Christ. And it doesn't have to be coffee. It can be a gallon of Coke a day too, you know. Anything that mind alters. Sugar is a mind-altering drug. I don't know that if it's right or wrong, but many times I am totally drained when I leave here. And if you'll notice, the first thing I do is order a glass of tea or a Coke, because I got to have something. I'll just do like this. The best thing is Coke, because it's sugar and caffeine both. And I can drink a couple, three, four, five, six Cokes, and I'll be all right. Don't know if it's right. Maybe I should be praying. But it's not my answer. It's not my answer. Savings and investments, my answer. Right? If I didn't have any debt, all my answers, I'd have all everything taken care of. No more debt means everything's taken care of. Yeah. You know how foolish this is. You know how a little accident can wipe away all retirement security? If I were the right weight, I'd have more fun. Could be. Could be, but that's not your answer. Jesus, the one that needs to tell you, lose some weight. You agree with him, that's fine. Wisdom, education, if I just had that degree, I'd have it made. Well, I tell you what, the minute I get my house paid for and I can go buy a car and clothes, cash, everything's fine. Retirement. Well, once this job's out of the way, I don't ever have to work again. I'm just going to enjoy life so much. Here's what I need. I need 2 weeks in Cozumel and everything's going to be fine. It'll all be fine then. You know what? You know I'm not against vacations. And I know that God intends us to relax and enjoy once in a while. But it's not my answer. If I could just meet all the goals I've set for myself. If I could just meet all the goals. Just get that garage cleaned out and I get that, you know, those books right in order and I can get all that computer work done and I can get, there's some painting and other stuff. Boy, when I get that done, then I'll have peace. When I'm healed, I'll have peace. Ever heard anybody say that before? When I'm healed. As soon as God heals me, they forget that they're already healed. Because they have the answer. The healed. We've got to stop believing all those things that I just mentioned and just know that God's already got them taken care of. If I can get one point down in my life, in my mind, that the mind of Christ has it solved, then this will look like the peace area for me. I won't have any more wars, worries. By the way, do you know these things are real? The debt and overweight and all that stuff that we talked about, those are real things. They're not fake. They've never been fake. They oppress us. They hold us back. But they can't hold us back when we have the answer. We can walk on them. If we believe that there any of those are answers, we are broad-minded and the Bible says it'll lead to destruction. Now, I'm going to say that one more time so we get it. If you believe that if any of those are your answer, you become broad-minded and you're going to destruction. Now, you don't. Destruction doesn't necessarily mean hell, but that's what Jesus is talking about. I don't want to be a destroyed Christian either. I don't want to go the wrong way and get lost and end up in all kinds of destruction, have God have to bring me back four, five, six, seven times. That only takes about all of my life. Where's the peace if I keep that up? Focus. Let's seek the mind of just one, God. If we do that, we'll become narrow-minded. We'll be lost. Listen to this. We'll be narrow-mindedly lost in the maker of the universe, which is an oxymoron. How could you be lost in the narrow-minded God, the maker of the universe? I'm broad-minded in him, narrow-minded in the world. Do you know how many things mankind has not figured out yet? So simply because they don't seek the mind of God. God has figured out perpetual motion. The world has not. God has figured out how to stop the sun and showed us. The world has not. God has showed us how to be multiple places at one time. The world has not. Jesus taught us how to walk on water. We haven't figured that one out yet either. Why? Because our mind is broad to the world thinking and narrow to God instead of broad in God and narrow to the world thinking. In our daily walk, we will hear many things offered as possible answers to questions. Well, I think I have your answer. If our mind is open, they will fall in. Here's the problem. An open-minded person, everything goes in. Garbage, everything. If closed and filled with the mind of Christ, we will focus on all that is pure and correct and powerful. Focus. Focus on this for a minute. 1 John 4:4. Focus on this for a minute. Let's do this. All your problems, gather it up in your little problem basket that many of you like and pamper and fill often. Guard it. Don't let anybody come in. And when it gets a little light, we add some more. Let's focus on something beside the problem basket and see what happens to the problem. 1 John 4:4. You are of God. If I didn't read any more, it's enough. You are of God, little children. Why did they put little children in there? Why did he do that? We need to take our place. Who's got it best in here, guys? The parent or the little child? We know that. We see it every day. Why don't we take that place? Jesus says so. You are of God, little children. Your parent is God, little children. And have overcome them. Oh, if I'm a little child, I haven't overcome anything. If you're in God, you have. Why? Because he says so. Haven't you ever told your child, because I said so? The one thing you know as a parent, you don't have all your life to explain everything to your child. Sometimes it's because I said so. You've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Now, if you focus on that, who is the father of the world? Satan. The Bible tells you that. Who is the father of the universe? One's bigger than the other. Who's the father of sin? Who's the father of righteousness? Who's the father of poverty? Who's the father of prosperity? Who's the problem maker? Who's the problem solver? So who do I want to serve? How big is my basket? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, because you've overcome them, because I fought so hard, I worked so hard, I saved so much. No, it's something God did. That's what it says. It's something God did. He doesn't even go into great deal of what that is. It just says overcome. So if the work's already done, why are you working so hard to get it done? Focus. Don't focus on how much work you've got to do. Focus on how much God has to do. If that helps you, it's better to focus on it's already done, because that is the truth. But sometimes we've got to take these little children's steps. Focus on this. Matthew 1:23. You know why there's things written in the Bible that blow our minds? Because our minds need to be blown up anyway. We get them set in granite. We stand free. We have that mind, the world mind, which is concrete around our ankles. God did something to set us free. And he did it in the strangest, most impossible way. He said, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Do you understand a virgin can't be with child? Okay, but God says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. Now, up until now, God had always been with his people, but never like now. Never like now. What we're going to say is God's mind is with us. God's will is with us. God's hope and desire for us is with us. It's openly revealed. And what wasn't revealed by Jesus himself came via the Holy Spirit. What Jesus couldn't walk and talk and do and say to show us, the Holy Spirit was given to reveal it to us. The mind of God has absolutely, by God's design, been around us, in us, through us, taught to us, screamed to us by preachers, teachers, friends, relatives, the Holy Spirit. Why do we resist so much? Why can't we just fall back as little children do into the arms of the Father? Focus. If we have God, what else do we need? Let's get little children. Very simple. If I have God, what else do I need? Well, God don't buy the food to go. Oh, there's your button again, you old goat. If you have God, what else do you need? Several times this week, several times last week, God spoke to me so clearly. What do you have need of? He spoke to me clearly. You've never been without. When everybody else thought you were without, you've never been without. I remember telling, I don't remember who it was, but I remember saying to them, I've never had a doctor. You know how weird that is in this United States? Why? Well, the answer is you never had need for one. Bullcorn. Even when I was in the hospital burnt, the doctor was expressing his opinion, but there was a higher opinion. And I had no need of him then. And that was revealed openly. All he could do is sit there and say, I don't know what's going on. Well, I don't need you. Come on. Never been without money. I thought I was. But how could that be true when all of my needs were met? In my mind, it was playing tricks. Not the mind of God. He was right on track. I told you last Sunday that my wife came to me and she said, it's going to have to be something happen with funds. And I'm going, duh. What happened to the, of course, that's before the message of last Sunday. Now, this week we've taken in $38,000 deposits on buildings, Harry. And this week we took deposits on buildings that nearly superseded what we did all last year. You don't think God doesn't have a plan? But you know how he can, remember what we talked about last Sunday? How can he reveal the plan if you don't listen to his mind? Or trust his mind? That's what this whole scripture was about last Sunday. It's not a matter of God's mind revealed. It's a matter of, do you trust God's mind revealed? Remember what it said? Do I need to remind you of Jeremiah 11? Turn it there. I want to read it to you. So we can keep focused. Jeremiah 29:11. Because I just read you the first part of that scripture. The rest of it says, if you'll trust me, things will go well. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And if you will trust that, verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. But not until you trust my thoughts over you. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Verse 13. Then you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I'll be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where you've been driven, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away by captivity. Let me tell you something. I didn't read that part to you last week, but here's the threat. You don't trust my mind, I'll turn you to the dogs. You'll wake up one day in captivity. You won't even know why. You'll blame me, but I'm telling you it was you. You took yourself there, and when you finally decided to seek me, you thought I'd be found by you. But no, you sought me before and you didn't believe me and you ended up in captivity. Why do we need to go through that again? You like the live word of God coming out? That's what's happening, in case you didn't recognize that. When you trust my thoughts over you, when you trust that I think good over you, when you trust that I'm going to do the best for you, not when you read it, but when you believe it, then I'll bring you back, then you'll pray and I'll hear, then I'll call you and you'll call me and we'll be buddies and you'll get to share in the wealth and you'll get to share in the health and you'll get to share in the power and the authority. But it comes when you trust me. You know what the walking epitome of a lie is? This is my friend, but I don't trust her. I got a cousin that started his marriage on that. Put her in a mobile home out in the middle of a field, 10 miles from anywhere, and went out and took the rotor out of the distributor cap and put it back on. Put the distributor cap back on. I can't figure out. The car won't start. I'll have to get that fixed. Spent hundreds of hours in a lawyer's office on weekends, cost them double time. Layering corporations and LLPs and LLCs. And if my wife ever leaves me, she won't get a dime because she can't find it. But this is my wife. How much do we treat Jesus that way? Oh, yeah. I'm the bride of Christ. Well, do you trust him with everything well? Yes. But if there was an audit, we'd find hidden things. Still a security blanket we're hanging on to. My mind, my thoughts, my wishes, my wants. And we end up in all kinds of problems and we blame him. Focus. Focus. I'm going to read you a couple of things about, out of Isaiah. We still got time. We still got time to succeed, right? Isaiah 45. I'm going to show you some thoughts God has. Isaiah 45. By the way, in Jeremiah, that scripture came from people that were in captivity. They were in the middle of captivity and they needed a way out. God was telling them a way out. Isaiah. Same thing, basically. Isaiah 45, verse 18. And thus says the Lord who created the heavens. Now, if I were God and I was reading my scripture to you right now, this is the way I would do it. For thus says the Lord who I created the heavens. Do you believe that? I want to cover each point. I said I created heaven. Do you believe that? Who is God? That's me. Who formed the earth and made it. Who has established it. By the way, any of you think that the earth is out of control? God established it. He didn't just make it, he established it. Do you know what that means? It cannot be unestablished. Nobody in their plans, not Usama, not anybody, can unestablish the earth. Who did not create it in vain. You know what would be in vain? To allow it to be blown up by nuclear weapons. To allow us to run out of some type of fuel source before it's time. To think that we're going to be covered by water because of a global warming. Some of the thoughts that people have right after the 8 enchiladas went to bed. I mean, some of the things that we believe are so ridiculous. And God's trying to say that. I did not create it in vain. I formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, that's you and me, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I don't just speak truth. I speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You who have escaped from the nations are from the world's thought processes. They have no knowledge. Now listen, God was not being politically correct. He said, if you're not mine, you are dumb. He said, you have no knowledge. Why do we turn the word to the world for knowledge when God himself says, if they don't serve me, they don't have knowledge? Who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? In other words, don't I always say the same thing from the beginning? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. The word Savior is mentioned much more in the Old Testament than the New. God was our Savior from the day one. There is none beside me, verse 22. Look to me and be saved. Wait a minute. Focus for a minute. Not a job, not debt payment, not weight loss, not painting the room, not focus. He said, look to me and be saved. We're not talking about salvation here, guys. We're talking about total annihilation of a threat of peace. Look to me, and I will totally annihilate anything that takes away your peace. All you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I wonder why in just a few verses he had to say so many times, there is no other. Well, the only reason is because he knew what we were thinking, that there might be another source. Maybe I'm the source. Maybe if I work harder. Focus. Have you forgotten my thoughts and plans? Since you're in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 60. People were in trouble. They were crying out to God while they were blaming him. That's what's happening here. Y'all ever blame God for anything? Come on, we all have. We need this sermon. Isaiah 60, verse 10. Last part. But in my favor, I have had mercy on you. I find this very interesting. In my favor, I've had mercy on you. It's his nature. It's his very nature to have mercy on us. Verse 11. Now listen to this. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles. Leave your gates open. What does that mean? Put your defenses down. You don't need to build defenses if you trust in God. I don't have to be looking for devils all over the place. I don't have to be worried about the Antichrist. I don't have to be worried about Osama dropping something on my head. Leave your doors unlocked so that I can run people your way to dump possessions onto you. That's what this says. That men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. Wait a minute. Who's he talking to? The children of God. Kings are going to come to him in procession. We had a righteous king named Bush. Iran threw their hands up. Said, I don't want to fight with you. I'm going to open the doors of our armory because I'm afraid what you'll do to me. Iran did too. Libya did too. That's right. Gaddafi, yeah. I didn't stumble over it. Listen, if our president, led by God, not by his own wisdom, will continue in the track he's going, make a little prediction to you. Since they're dumb and we're smart, is that too black and white for you? They're going to do something to cause American people to vote for Bush again. Let's make a little prediction for you. Not because Bush is such a glorious man, puts his pants on like you and me, makes all kinds of mistakes, has some dust in the past. Doesn't make any difference. God says he holds kings in his hands. That's all it. We take it like that. And what we don't want is Kerry in there. Somebody that hung around with Jane Fonda. By the way, Jane Fonda got saved too.
Right.
Kerry didn't.
Right.
Kerry's only going to get us elected. As soon as he gets elected, he'll do what Bill Clinton did, which was take the guts out of our military, and we'll become wimps of the world. Like Spain. They'll try it again, Harry. We're not Spain. We're not Spain. If you want to get a little... I would like to get more theological with you about that, but you just get mad and say, I'm a bigot. She's so convicted, she ran into the altar. Let's read this on. Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish. Now, it doesn't say fear you. It says those that will not serve you will perish. How many nations on the face of this earth have one nation under God on their money? And we don't need some perverted judges deciding to change that. In the way we teach, in the way we marry, in the way we post our Ten Commandments. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. Do you believe God? Are we going to focus on this is our position? Are we going to say it's all right for them to do what they want because it's, after all, God is democratic? You understand God is not democratic. Not even a little bit. He's theocratic, which means what he says goes, and he's not asking for a vote. Verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. What is he saying? You want to be glorious? Invite me. Trust me. Live in me and let me live in you. 14. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Now, how can they call us that if we are not that? See, the promise doesn't apply. God will if you will. That's what this is saying. You trust me. You become my place of residence, and I'll exalt you. When Bill Clinton was president, he exalted everything but God. And we were a mockery in the world. It's just absolutely amazing. I stand amazed at how a presidency can change. And he says, God bless America, and everything comes unglued. Everything begins to change. We get some respect in the world. They begin to fear us. Isn't that what this scripture says? I love no man. I love God. I love what God does through men. But I've never seen God exalt a man. He exalts what he does. That's what we are to do. We don't exalt men. We exalt what he does. Verse 15, whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many nations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. We can milk kings. How? Don't think how. Focus. Focus on what God said and watch Him bring it to pass. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. You shall know. That means no more guessing. You shall know. When shall you know? The minute you decide. Trust me and I'll show you. Don't trust me, I don't care if you ever see. Look at this. 17, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. You know why? He owns it all. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make you officers, your officers, peace. I will also make your officers peace. Did you know that our Constitution says that any law enforcement officer is not a law enforcement officer, it's a peace officer? There's no such thing as a law enforcement officer. Why? Because our Constitution is based on the Word. The Word says, I will make your officers peace, and I'll make your magistrates righteousness. We need to believe God in this Scripture and start seeing some unrighteous magistrates fry. Amen. Let them bow to righteousness. Focus. Focus on what God's trying to do to us, through us. Trust me in this. God is outthinking us and our enemies. Come on, all you bright, brilliant people in this room that have an answer for everything. Sometimes I can't even get you to shut up. God is outthinking you, and He's outthinking your enemies. Luke 2, verse 10 said, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now this is not anything but the mind of God, providing a way, a miraculous way, for a brilliant future. Do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? Then you can't trust any calamity. You can only trust the mind of God. When we're children of God? When we do not trust calamity. That there's no happening that's more real than the mind of God and His wishes for me. Nothing is more real. Focus. What we could not do for ourselves, He did for us. Matthew 1:22 says, behold the virgin. I'm sorry, 23. Says, behold the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call His name Emmanuel. God with us. Do you believe that God is with us right here? If I had a 20-foot dad, 20 foot tall and he weighed 2,000 pounds, and he looked like the Hulk, how many things do you think I'd be afraid of? But God is bigger. And if He's here, and I really believe that His thoughts for me is, ain't no weapon going to make it, son. Then what am I afraid of? Focus. God is with us. His mind has opened us. All we have to do is plug in. Yes. Believe. Close the V. Take that V and just shut it. Just shut it. Close that open mind to all except Him. Yes. Stop listening to and repeating those goofy things that you hear. Some of the goofiest things you can hear is in church. I used to repeat them. God would convict me and I'm going, wait a minute. Oh, you're convicting me of what the preacher taught. There's a scripture in the Bible. I don't want everybody relying on this totally until you're ready. But it says, I will make you where you don't need teachers. Can you imagine the relationship that when we all plug into the mind of Christ, we no longer need teachers? Why would we need a teacher to teach information that we're plugged into? If it did not come from the mind of God, His Word is spirit, it is not true. It's a lie. Shut up and focus. Jeremiah 29:10-11. For I know God. Can you imagine that we make God say this? That He has to tell us about His thoughts when He's already written them down? It's how out of contact we are that He has to explain to us thoughts when He's already written them down. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Peace and not of evil. Peace and not of evil. Focus. God's thoughts are peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. We read it once before. Let's read it again. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Focus. When we have the mind of God, we have all the answers. We have all peace and we have all provision. Focus. Don't let anything take away your focus. If we seek any other, we are the greatest of fools. If we have had a relationship with God ever and we seek another source, we are the greatest of fools. There's only one truth. There's only one life. There's only one way. And it's narrow-mindedness that leads us to be with Him. Now, don't take an insult about my use of narrow-mindedness as words. You know what I said. I said when we're narrow-minded in Christ Jesus, when we'll be broad-minded in peace and faith and provision, we'll extend our fences and our tent posts. We'll have the world bowing to the God that's in us. And we will stop bowing to the world. Amen?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. My provision is not in the deposits that I took this week. That's the proof of God's provision. That's the proof of who my provider is. The fact that I walk in health, even when sometimes I don't feel like it, I still walk there, is the proof of what God thinks and feels about me. It's not an action that comes from my believing. It's an action that comes from my trusting His thoughts for me. I don't know, I'm looking at this thing totally different. I'm going to continue. I've always thought it as a massive work of faith. And you know what? It's not hard to trust God. All I have to do is focus. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear. Gave me a massive amount of truth this morning. Yesterday, last week. Not yesterday, but last week. All I have to do now is try to live in it. And I tell you something, it's working. It's doing a work in me. It's doing a work in me. It's doing a work in me. Peter wanted us to hold him up in prayer again. We can do that. Anybody else? Gary, a week ago, called me out of the blue. Gary doesn't call me. I don't know if Gary's called me twice in his life, but he called me. And he said, I was at my wit's end. He said, I just thought about suicide and I didn't know what to do or what to say or what to think. And he said, I plugged in two tapes, one of your dad and one of you. Tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
And he told me, basically, that he got saved. I said, okay, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. If that's true, and I have no reason not to believe that, from the grave, salvation came. He bragged on my dad's tape more than mine, by the way, which is fine. I mean, I have no problem. I don't care how he gets saved. I don't care what motivates him to have a closer walk with God, just as long as it does. Amen? So we'll hold him up. What happens is in his own mind, he walks into a den of lions when he goes back home. And what he needs to do is turn into the minister that family needs. Richard, did you have your hand up? Who's offering you money? Well, it's not theirs. And it sounds like a move that God would want you to have. So I know what you're saying. You're not saying, you didn't even ask where to receive it or not, I hope. Sure, you're going to take it. But you got to know where to use it.
I had a few.
I had to do it more than that, Harry. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to agree with him. I feel like the last few weeks that without even praying, Harry, just focusing, agreeing with the mind of God, and there's answers. I'm not saying that I wasn't asking for an answer, but agreeing that it's already there. It's amazing how it's already there. Yeah, just like that. Well, if that's where God is, it was left field. Wherever the home run is, that's where I want to be. There's nothing that God ever allows in our lives to bring destruction. Not even allows. For those that are trying to trust Him, just even trying to trust Him, there may be some near destruction. You might feel that. But it's not the end. God is full. His full purpose is to accomplish what He started. And by the way, He will, with us or without us. I'm not saying that. But man, if we're just believing that, we've made a huge leap to believing all that He says. Life is just a series of changes. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but hopefully you'll figure it out one day. Life is nothing but one constant series of change. Everybody says, oh, this age is the roughest old. There's no rough age. It's just always change. I don't care if it's puberty or death. It's all change. And one of the things, of course, in my life that's right now is the death of two parents, which brings more into focus your future. Now, do you fear your future? They didn't. Why should I? God says that there's no death in serving Him. Why should I worry about death? You see, you got to worry about my death. I'm going to be laying around one day, and you got to figure out what to do with me or whoever's left. I like Desiree's plan. I hope she makes provisions for that. She said she's just going to wheel us out on the beach at Cozumel, and whenever we kick the bucket, just roll us off in the ocean. I like that. See, that songwriter that wrote, "For I know who holds tomorrow," had it locked in. He had it locked in. I not only know who holds tomorrow, I know what's in the process of all the tomorrows, and I know what tomorrow's going to turn out to be. I already got the promise. Just read it to you. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, what I feel like praying to you right now is increase our faith. As I am doing in agreement with you, come against my unbelief and the unbelief of the people here today. And we all have it, so we might as well confess it. That's what we want you to work on in us, is our unbelief. We love you, Lord. You know the things that have been brought up. You know the health, the attack of health on health in Peter. We know your thoughts about this. You're against it. You've already provided for it, taken care of it, so now we speak that word, be healed, because you trust in Jesus' name. And Gary, we send the word. Know that you are a son of God. Know that you're not a bastard, that you're not abandoned. Know that you are, it doesn't make any difference where you're a 1,000-watt bulb, a 100-watt bulb, or a 1-watt bulb, that you can have the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, minister him that now in Jesus' name. And for all those thoughts and statements have been spoken over him about how dumb he is, we curse those, break them, and loose him into your mind now in Jesus' name. Richard needs to know what you'd have him to do. Teach him to focus. Teach him to hear. And then teach him to boldly move in Jesus' name. The situation that Chuck and Tanya brought up, we don't know. We just don't know it. But you do. And we trust your outcome. Now we, in agreement with the authority that you've given us, we insert the mind of Christ in this situation. The expected end of peace and power and unity. We ask you, Lord, to heal the rifts and teach them to focus on you so that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done. In Jesus' name. For those things that have not been mentioned openly, we turn over to you now. We regret and confess and repent from worry. We'll be anxious over nothing because it's all cast upon you. You've taken care of it. And we now live in that your future of prosperity and health and power, those things that we've read about. Now we receive them into ourselves now. In Jesus' name, we receive the glory of God into this church, the new building, the new praise and worship leader, the new teachers and ministers, the new songsters, musicians, the newness of trusting you. We receive that into ourselves now. We receive everybody here, agree with me in this. We receive your prosperity and peace now in Jesus' name. And we walk in it. We will not turn to the right or the left, but we will focus on you in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.